Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey, this is Gavin Kelly, the host and lead investigator of the new Amazon Prime original series, The Paranormal Journey into the Unknown, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Lee Roberts, presenter of Haunted Live, producer, television presenter, and paranormal investigator. I wanted to wish the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, congratulations on 6 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Remember, don't be normal, be paranormal.
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Congratulations, Sophia Temporelli.
Sophia Temporelli.
The ghost host. Celebrating 6 years of broadcasting
on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to ghost host Sophia Temporelli.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And yes, this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 19-year-old Sophia Temporelli broadcasts each and every week and discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And so congratulations, Sophia, coming up on 7 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. And feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And as well, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. There's a new format, actually, too, for the chat room as well. So it takes Facebook or Twitter just to sign in. It doesn't merge your accounts and mesh them all together or anything like that. It's just simply a different way to log in now for the new, updated, revamped, revised LiveParanormal.com chat room. Also, thank you to all of our moderators. Thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events and getting people into the chat room too as well, by the way. And thank you guys so much for all your help over the years. Today, we have co-founders and lead paranormal investigators Katie Foreman and Diane Miller with Cal Para Research Organization returning to the show to speak with the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. So everyone visit and play along at calpara.org. That's calpara.org. Also, to Facebook search Cal Para Research, and also to Twitter at @Cal_Para. That's at @Cal_Para. And YouTube search Cal Para Research. Upcoming next Saturday, we have paranormal investigator Eric Van Leer returning to the program. That's next Saturday, the 28th. Feature actor and paranormal investigator Rick McCallum will be on the program on Cinco de Mayo on May 5th. Psychic Radio Rod Shelton will be returning to the program on the 19th of May. Ghost Adventures crew member Dakota Layden will be on the program on June 2nd. And the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com 7-year broadcast anniversary spectacular live will be on the 9th of June. Also, paranormal investigator Jake Fife will be on the program on July 21st. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. Like Ghost host Sophia Temporelli Facebook fan page to learn about all of the guests as we learn of them real time too as well. Also the group page for Facebook.com, and also to support the vendors here on LiveParanormal.com and check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the members here too. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, DVDs. He's great at rewarding the members here. Tonight on LiveParanormal.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the as well as always, monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffey of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP3 iTunes downloads are available immediately following the broadcast, so you can enjoy the archive shows. And as always, we have Peter James will be
John,
taking your calls.
Talk to me, John.
Thank you, Peter. You know, I got a million pages open. Everybody loves hearing your voice. It's just always...
I'm here to help you.
Well, thank you, Peter. I certainly have a lot of pages open here. So let's see here. Let's bring up...
Come through. Speak to me.
Well, thank you, Peter. Let's see here. I'm unmuting her. Let's see here. Sophia, you there? Hi, Sophia. Congratulations. Coming up on 7 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been almost 7 years.
I know. It went by pretty fast. I mean, your first guest was Alexandra Halzer, just sitting here in the office, and you went on, and everybody just started booking themselves right after that. So congratulations, Sophia.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been an awesome 7 years.
Yeah, and you got a ton of pages. You got all these things open there, and so where can everybody find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, okay. And so tell us about our guest returning today, Sophia.
Today, co-founders and lead paranormal investigators Katie Foreman and Diane Miller with Cal Para Research Organization return on air live. Everyone visit CAPARA.org, Facebook search Cal Para Research, Twitter @Cal_Para, YouTube search Cal Para Research. Let's bring them into the show.
Okay, let's see here.
Talk to me.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Let's see here. Katie, Diane, I'm unmuting you. There you go. Got you.
Hello.
Hi, good
hey,
afternoon.
Guys. Thank you for coming. Yeah, thank you for coming on today.
Sophia, I cannot believe it has been 7 years. We were on here 7 years ago when you were 12.
Yeah, it's been
yep.
a while. It's been a crazy 7 years.
Yeah, I know. In fact, you're so busy, I don't even know how you have time for the radio because I'm always seeing you here and there at different haunted locations for different reasons. So good thing you still do the radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, thankfully, none of it would be possible without my mom. You know, she definitely keeps my schedule intact. Even when I was in school, I could not have done anything without her.
Yeah, Shirley's good people.
Definitely. So can you both tell us what initially led you to co-found Paranormal Organization of Cal Para Research Organization, and what does your team charge for investigations?
We got a group of people together about 12 years ago, and most of the people in there have had personal experiences for 10 to 20 years, kind of wondering what the heck's going on. Let's research this more. I myself, when I was 14 through 18, I babysat at a haunted house, which is now famous. It wasn't famous back then. And that's why I got into it, is it was like, holy cow, what's going on here? Diane, what's your story?
Well, my story is more of curiosity from a very young age on what could possibly be out there that we can't see. So I am not a psychic. I leave that to Katie and the other members of our team that have the special abilities. I am the one that's I consider myself to be more grounded and the is this real, is this not real, stepping in when we think something's happening. But it started as a young age. I was a child of the 60s. Growing up with night gallery and those types of things, and going to see The Exorcist at age 10, which I think probably scarred me for life. But it drove me to question and want to know if there's more out there.
Right.
Definitely. You know, I know so many experiences through life really shaped who we are, and so many, you know, paranormal investigators, you know, really started out with either an interest just from a very young age from seeing movies and, you know, reading about it, or just having their own experiences.
A lot of people years ago, it was, they all had experiences, but with so much on TV now, there's an interest where they may have never thought about it before. It's kind of in their face.
Definitely. Right. And Diane, how do you balance a self-described sense of skepticism with your strong belief in the paranormal while conducting investigations?
It's actually not too difficult. I am a strong believer that there are things out there because I have had experiences over the past, but it's the part of my brain that says, is there another explanation? I don't want to be one of those that's just kind of jumping in at every creak or squeak that we hear out there that, you know, it's something that's paranormal. To me, it's all about maintaining the integrity of what we're doing. So moving it away from the entertainment and into the research.
She's
Definitely.
The yin to my yang because she's the grounding force in the group. There have been many moments when we're kind of possibly rattled or startled, and she's over there thinking naturally and scientifically and vocalizing this, and we're thinking, oh, right, I hadn't thought of that. But there are moments when she looks at me and she says, I find no natural causes to that. So it's like, okay.
It's always good to go into investigations with, you know, some degree of skepticism because not everything is paranormal. So it's always good to have, you know, that balance on investigations and teams.
I think that's part of the one of the bigger concerns when I'm dealing with new clients that contact us is some families, again, going back to the influence of all the TV shows, they may or may not have activity, but they kind of brand everything that's going on in their home, and it's hard to get them to back down and be a little more skeptical, a little more looking for natural causes. Yes, you may have spirits in your home, but I don't think that everything you've described is unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's kind of,
I know
it's,
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, and it's kind of bridging kind of our history that we've had with entertainment and saying, you know, 60s, 70s, early 80s, everything was very theatrical. And it was really easy to separate that. And then we move into the 2000s with reality TV, and now those lines are kind of blurred for just the general public out there.
Definitely. And, Katie, I know earlier in the show, Diane had brought up, you know, your own abilities. Can you tell us a little bit about those and how you discovered them?
When I was 10 through 14, I started having abstract dreams that within 3 days they would become real. You know, they really truly happened. And I started recognizing what the feeling was when I woke up, and I started watching to make sure I wasn't wrong. For instance, I dreamt that I was in the back seat of my brother's car and I saw yellow flashing out his windshield, and then we were sitting on grass and there was a bunch of lights shining on his face, but I couldn't get his attention. 3 days later, he was in a terrible car crash with a yellow truck. That would be the yellow flashing in the front of his windshield. And fortunately, the truck took more of the impact, and he was able to go on to a concert in a park on the grass where lights were shining on his face. I wasn't there. So in my dream, when I was shouting at him and he couldn't hear me, I wasn't there. And this all happened 3 days later, and I'm thinking, what?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
Fast
forward, I'm, you know, investigating. Have you heard of the Maury Mansion out in Redlands? It's got an onion dome. It's a real 1880 home, real famous out in the Inland Empire. But back then, it was just somebody's house, and I babysat there for 4 years, and that thing is majorly haunted. So then I had spirits trying to contact me and shouting at me, and it's like, what's going on now? So through the years, I learned how to recognize how I physically feel and what happens to me if they're shouting at me, trying to make a contact or something. And fast forward to now when I go into a client's location, they may have spirits that they don't know that are strangers that are related to the land or the home before they even moved there. But I'll come in their home to investigate, and their mom comes through. Like, let me take advantage of the situation, and starts giving me a bunch of info. So I might sit down with the client and give them a quick reading from mom, because she's, you know, she's not the one haunting the home, but she stopped in anyway and had some things to say. So that's been pretty interesting to have that added into our paranormal research.
Definitely. And how are you able, I know that you said that you had gotten dreams when you were younger and you can hear them, but what are all the ways that you were able to get impressions from the other side?
It's hard to explain, but I suddenly know things I have no way of knowing. For instance, I don't know your favorite color, but if a spirit is saying purple, 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 and I ask you and you say it is purple, then the hair on my arm stands up and I have this fuzzy feeling near my lungs, and the person will confirm, oh my goodness, it is purple. There's no way for me to know this information, but I suddenly have this information in my head. And just like all mediums or psychics, there's hits and there's misses, but sometimes if the person sitting there is saying, no, 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 that doesn't make sense, the spirit will demand that it's true. And I'll tell them, well, just watch for it in the next couple of weeks. And then I'll get an email saying, oh, my goodness, I figured it out after you left and stuff. So they shout at me. I had to learn how to turn that off, because there was a time when I'm watching some of these TV mediums, and I asked a couple of them, I went to see at a seminar, how do you turn this off, you know? And like Peter James. He would learn how to turn it off so he could get sleep, you know, because the messages, they just continually come through.
Definitely. I know that so many psychics, you know, have to learn to turn that off at some point. And I know that sometimes that can be very hard to do. But, you know, you're still in the paranormal and going on investigations. And you both founded and are a part of the CalPAR Research Organization. Can you tell us a little bit about the other members and what their roles are within the team?
Oh, we have such a wonderful team. I've got this one guy dedicated to run our Twitter page, and, you know, he took us up to thousands of followers within a month. He just knows what he's doing. That's Alfred. So many to name. We have John, who does our tech and cameras and has a background in film and pixelation. I mean, he can tell you all the natural reasons why these pictures or films are not haunted and stuff. We have Christina and Cindy, who have years of experience, and Christina's very excited, and Cindy's very level-headed, like Diane. It's a real mixture out there.
We have a couple of really good sensitives besides Katie on the team. We have Mona. And Leslie.
Leslie, who's
also a licensed counselor. So she comes in and she can kind of, you know, she'll say to us, well, I think there's some additional dynamics going on there.
In the family. Yeah, she's a marriage family child counselor. So she's got that background. You know, it's interesting, people's backgrounds, what they can bring from their Monday through Friday job into this. You asked earlier what we charge. It's all free. It's an unrecognized science. We always feel it's unethical to charge anyone. There's no guarantee that we're going to be able to remove the spirit. It may take weeks, and we don't want to move in your home, so we may ask the client to do some proven remedies for several days, several weeks. And so to charge them, I don't feel it's fair. And most groups will not charge. They just don't feel in a science that we're trying to understand that there's a place for a fee. When you're dealing with the invisible, you have to prove that they're even dealing with something. And then attempt to help the spirit get out of the home if they're bothering the family, unless it's grandma and they want them to stay.
Right.
For sure.
Is
I know
Katie,
there's so many teams.
You know, is there something like hearing Sophia talk? Sometimes psychics get things that are on the show. Is there something you sense or feel or gathered anything on Sophia?
Well, the color purple, my hair went up when I said that. So there's something purple around her. I don't know what that is. Now, purple, also, remember, it's always abstract. We always play the figure it out game. And I don't mean the fishing game. I won't go, you know, someone with the letter M, because who doesn't? When I go to say something and I have a reaction, kind of a physical reaction, purple also represents the highest chakra of being a psychic or a medium yourself. So maybe that's what they're trying to say. I didn't know Sophia had any psychic or medium abilities. I don't remember that coming up before. Or there's something very purple in her life going on right now. Or I'm wrong, you know. It's okay if I'm wrong. But
it's weird. Like, I was looking away from the screen when I asked that. When you started to say purple, I was looking right at a really dark purple-colored blanket that's over one of our printers in here. And I was just happening to glance over, and I was looking at it when you said that.
Well, this is connected to Sophia, purple, very strong purple. It represents royal, the crown chakra. She's eating purple grapes right now. I mean, we could play the guessing game. She's, you know, could be wearing purple. Her room is purple. Her car is purple. Those would make connections. If nothing prominent comes to mind, I won't fish and fish and fish, you know, because it either is or it isn't. But my mind is not set in that right now to do a reading on her. I could take the time. I'll keep that in the background and see if anything comes up. Instantly, it would be that she's extremely close or was extremely close to a grandmother. I'm getting that the loss of this grandmother was a great impact to her. And I don't want to do too much more right now. There's another thing, but it's not clear. She seems too young to have lost a grandmother. Have you lost a grandmother, Sophia?
A great grandmother.
One that was a huge impact to her, though?
I think her phone's muted. I can hear her talking in the other room, but it's not coming through the microphone.
She's playing with her bird.
Oh.
Last time we named the bird.
let me know if there's anything about a really
strong grandmotherly influence. Very, very strong. Seems like it's coming off of Shirley's site. Very, very strong. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Sophia, check your connection there. Sophia, you there? That's weird. Her line's open and I hear her talking in the other room, but it's not coming through the mic here. Oh, her
Maybe.
Call dropped. Let's see. She'll be calling right back in. But
she must be saying,
help! Yeah, her great-grandmother was real fond of her. And she's really close to both her grandmas. Here she is. She's coming right back in right now. And, Sophia, you there?
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
We got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there you are.
Loud and clear.
I had to call back in. I don't know what happened, but my great grandmother passed away when I was about 3. I don't remember her super well, but I'm definitely extremely close with both of my grandmas. They are amazing. I spend a lot of time with both of them, pretty much on a regular basis.
Let me ask you: was the great grandmother on your mom's side?
No, it was on my dad's.
Okay, this is coming through your mom's side, some female on your mom's side. So it might be your great-grandmother on that side. I don't know. And again, you know, I don't know. I do very well when I'm sitting in front of you. These long-distance remote readings are a little more difficult and stuff, but there's very strong grandmother influence around you, but there's an older female talking about it, and it's coming through on Shirley's side, so I'll try and figure that out a little bit later.
I will say, though, I don't really have an ability. I never met my great-grandmother on my mother's side. She passed away before I was born, but she, I was told, had an ability of some sort.
Do you have any purple going on in your life, like your room, your clothes, your car?
My
How do you feel about
blue.
Purple?
I like the color purple. My Aunt Chrissy does have purple all over her house, but our living room is like a light lavender grayish color.
Huh. Yeah, I'll have to figure that out. I don't know. I'll let you
my
know later
says,
on if there's more on that.
My mom says she's in purple today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just some purple coming through and then this strong female. So I'll let you know later on that. And also they're saying namesake, like you're named after someone. Is there someone?
Yeah, I actually am. My middle name is named after my grandmother. I never met her. Yeah, she's
is
my
great-grandmother.
I never met her. Yeah, my dad's side, her name was Francesca, and that's my middle name. She was Italian.
Okay, well, maybe it's her. It feels so much like it's going to your mom's side, so maybe it's her. That's two hits for your dad's side and zero on your mom, so I don't know. You know, it just feels like it's going up through Shirley, so I don't know what that's about. But,
well, that grandma lives right across the street, so...
Yeah, my
no, mother. But this person that's chatting with me is an older female. She feels like a grandma or a great grandma, and she's saying namesake now, and she's talking about purple. So I don't know. It keeps leading back to your grandma, Jean. So I don't know. We'll have to.
And I was looking at Sophia's baby blanket that, you know, just covers our top of our printer perfectly, and it's a dark, dark purple. So
yeah, and that's about the color I was seeing is a dark, dark purple. So if the printer starts going off, let me know.
Oh, it does sometimes at night, in the middle of the night. it just starts lighting up and doing stuff. And I'll go ahead, Sophia.
Thank you. KB, for seeing what you got, though. But definitely, I know that ability has to help out a ton on investigations. And I know that some of your investigations are posted on YouTube. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the evidential captures regarding the March 2016 Lake Arrowhead Bed and Breakfast location and personal experiences encountered by the CalPERA Research Organization investigators there?
Do you want to take that one, Diane? Because you got the most EVPs. I will tell you one thing. They insisted that some old whiskey bottles that were found there were part of the original brothel that was held in this hotel now, brothel before. And Diane, who is our grounded researcher, took a picture of the labels and what have you and did a lot of research and found out that the labels were made much more recently than what they believed them to be. That's not paranormal. It's just goes with the bigger picture. But she got an EVP in one of the locations. A woman told her, "I suffered." And that's part of what we posted on YouTube. As allegedly there were prostitutes at this location and gambling.
Right.
And the cameras that we were using to film one of the times suddenly shut off as we were walking into one of the rooms, and we later heard an EVP of a man saying, "No cameras," and then the camera shut off. And, that room, as a medium, I felt that they did the money counting in that room and that no women were allowed in that room. And, so that may be why they didn't want cameras in there. Allegedly, there's a tunnel that runs from one of the buildings to another building, but it's been closed up. It's not safe anymore and what have you. And we were at one entrance, and a man, again, was talking about numbers. He was rattling off numbers, and we caught that as an EVP. So we're not sure if they stashed everything down in this tunnel, if the police came by, or what they did. But they were big on money, that is for sure. And that's
And on that particular spot, because we've been there a few times now, we decided the second time that we went, the first time we went there, we had some major equipment malfunctions right at that spot where all of our speakers started squealing and basically had to shut everything down and had a hard time bringing everything back up. So the second time that we went there, we went right back to that exact same spot, got out a couple decks of cards, started playing some 21, some blackjack right there, and set up the spirit box and the obelisk and got some interesting results. coming through, responding to accusations of cheating and things like that.
She had out her trigger items, a little tiny bottle of whiskey and a cigar to attract the spirits. And what we find interesting is when the ovilus and the spirit box start saying the same words within 10, 15 seconds of each other, then we kind of sit up and pay attention. Ovilus on its own, you know, you can force a fit. A lot of people will force any word to fit, but we're looking for distinct connections, not just every single word, you know. But when their spirit box and the ovilus are both saying things about cheating and what have you, we kind of think, what? Okay. And the spirits tend to talk a lot at that location. There are locations where they won't say a word, but maybe they'll flicker lights or make noises or knock. They like to knock. But you go to another location and they chatter away, and you have to be real careful about not talking over them.
Yeah, and that particular investigation, I just pulled up the report to refresh myself on it. We also used the Phasma box at that investigation, and we ended up and we run it, when we run the Phasma box, we run it in Latin in reverse. So, and it's not hooked up to Wi-Fi, so you're not getting any radio signals. It's, you know, it's got to be pretty clear. And when we were questioning about the cheating in Las Vegas, it actually responded with, you know how it is.
Huh.
So, well, you know, it's hard to argue that one.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. It sounded like such a great investigation, and it's definitely a great location, too. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And today we have Katie Foreman and Diane Miller with CalPara Research Organization. So everybody visit calpara.org. That's calpara.org. Facebook search CalPara Research. On Twitter at Cal_para. That's at Cal_para. I'm posting the links into the liveparanormal.com chat room too as well. And also to YouTube search for the investigations, CalPara Research. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Congratulations, Sophia Temporelli.
Sophia Temporelli.
The Ghost Host. Celebrating 6 years of broadcasting
on liveparanormal.com.
And with CalPara Research Organization, I'm muting everybody's microphone here for Katie and Diane. And you're on with Sophia.
Hey, thank you both again so much for coming on today.
Not a problem. You caught us
hey,
before we go on
us.
A adventure tonight.
Oh, cool.
Well, speaking of all of your investigations, how are you able to secure such, you know, historic landmarks such as the Lake Arrowhead Bed and Breakfast?
Oh, calling and convincing.
Yeah.
There's locations that we have done that are like along Route 66, which is the old historical highway from L.A. to the east. And out here in California, there's quite a few older establishments, restaurants or hotels that are still on the old, what's considered Route 66. It's called different street names now. And we had some really great case managers that go in and sit down and talk with them about, are you experiencing anything? Are your employees experiencing anything? Could we come in and research here? The number one fear, of course, is, yes, we're experiencing things. Will you make them mad? They always ask, will you make them mad? And that's a big obstacle is, you know, as far as our experience goes, a lot of them will hide. They don't want to deal with the living or be bothered, or they're glad to finally be able to communicate a little more clearly with the different pieces of equipment. I really can't remember a case when any spirit got mad. I'm sure it's possible. But
I kind of remember when we last year we took a paranormal road trip. About four or five of our members went back to Gettysburg, and we stumbled upon we just happened to rent a farmhouse that would house all of us, which was really nice because it had five bedrooms, so there was enough for everybody in there. But as soon as we got in there, we immediately started having experiences. I think everybody that went on that trip had something happen to them in the farmhouse, but there was also a small barn in the back, which had a very unhappy spirit in it that really didn't like us there. And was actively trying to get us to leave for fear of shutting it down.
This farmhouse was built in 1840 in the middle of Gettysburg battlefield, and so was used for a hospital. You know, the residents fled, and now you can rent it out. And in the first hour, all five of us had multiple experiences in the farmhouse. Then the psychic Don Staggs and his wife happened to be vacationing in town that week. So we made a connection, and he came over and went into the barn with us, and the spirit tried to flip the wooden bench over he was sitting on several times to get him out of there. And he kept getting tossed forward off the bench. And he's a pretty reputable guy with integrity. And he was not faking
this.
Yeah,
for sure.
We were filming it, and it was tipping and trying to throw him off this bench over and over. And we thought, oh, man. And he was trying to send all the spirits on their way if they wanted to cross, and this one was like, oh, no, and he said it had been there for years. So someone left over from the battlefield that took up residence in the barn.
Don is definitely such a great psychic, and, you know, he's not a small guy, so I can't imagine, you know, him being tipped over from the chair. So such an amazing experience.
Yeah, we posted on our Facebook page a short clip of one of the moments when the bench was tipping him off of it, and we were able to clip down and put a small piece on. But that was so strange. And you know what was interesting is in the longer version of the film, behind him, you can see this flat plane of wiggly air, like an energy grid, but it's like 4 feet wide and 4 feet tall, but it looks flat, like a window. It's like a window of energy behind him as he's getting pushed off the bench, and the bench is tipping over forward. And you're expecting to see maybe the shape of a person or just a big blob, but to be in the shape of a flat window, which is, again, you're never done researching this stuff. As soon as you think you know something, something unusual comes along, and you can never settle. You've always got to keep trying to figure out what more is there and why.
Definitely. Right. And I know you mentioned that you're going on an investigation later tonight. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that?
It's an undisclosed jail in an undisclosed city. Unfortunately, we signed a contract. Since they are used by Hollywood for filming TV shows and movies, they charge fees for using their name. And so we signed a contract. We would not use their name, but it's a closed down former jail, maximum security with a lot of history and a lot of famous cases where people were held there while they were going through trial until they were sentenced and sent off to some prison somewhere. So we've been trying for 5 years to get in this place.
You don't want to ruin it.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. That took a lot of persuasion about, you know, we swear we're not going to post it on YouTube. At least anything that gives away, you know, it's got the name printed in the background or anything, because otherwise they want to make several hundred dollars an hour for people that film there. They make their money off of Hollywood now, which is, you know, fine. But allegedly the conditions were very bad, and there were quite a few deaths there, and there were some psychiatric people on hand, because a lot of the people that were going through trial, of course, had mental instability. Kind of reminds me of...
Or were very violent.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, wonderful. I love those violence
bears. We're going to be doing a bubble of protection.
That's right.
Okay.
There's another place that everyone used to go to out in the Boyle Heights area, I believe. That was wonderful. It was a former hospital and psychiatric unit, and many, many paranormal conferences were held there. We snuck in Brian Kano when he was filming his first year on Haunted Collector. No one knew who he was, and so he was just a friend, and we got him in there and went around investigating with him there, and that was kind of cool. But now they're making senior apartments out of it.
Oh, I know the
place. Yeah, I definitely heard about that. I would not want to stay there as a senior citizen.
Can you imagine?
Loved it there.
There is a local paranormal group there that was running the investigations. They ought to go over there and knock on the doors and ask, how's it going for you in your new senior apartment? Anything acting up?
Well, they probably write it off as dementia.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
There was one room where they warned you that the particular spirit would scratch people over in the psychiatric ward. It was considered the most dangerous room to enter if you were vulnerable in any kind of state. And so I was in that room two times. First time, the energy was so oppressive to me. I was getting a headache. I think the spirit wanted me out of there, so I left after 20 minutes. And the second time I stuck around and stuff, and I never got scratched, but it always felt much more off in that room than the rest of the facility.
Definitely. I know what place you're talking about, and it's a very cool location with a very interesting past and an even more interesting future to it. But congratulations on, you know, securing the jail after 5 years, and I can't wait to, you know, hear what happens, and good luck on your investigation tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So, I know that there's been many places to investigate, but where would you like to investigate most in the world and why?
Oh, gosh. Well, where I'd like to go, Diane, has been, I got to Waverly Manor in Louisville, Kentucky. But there was a mix-up between the woman I had talked to saying I could come there during the day. And when I got there, I was going to be by myself, of all things. She had to leave, so I couldn't go in. But Diane got to go there another time and had quite the experience.
Yeah, to me that was kind of the holy grail of experience at Waverly Hills. It was something
wow.
else. It was I went over there for one of the midnight to 8 a.m. investigations. And even though, and I really recommend to people that if you're going to do this, you know, there are a lot of groups out there that will say, hey, come spend $250 and you can investigate with our group. Pass on doing that. You know, you can make reservations and do an overnight for $100. And it's a lot cheaper. They do have a lot of people that go in at the same time. I think there were about 50, but that place is massive. You know, so they're breaking you into groups of 20 that are on these two humongous floors at a time. And at one point, about 3 a.m., I was I think there were four of us that were on the floor together. I think we're up on the third floor. There were four other people at the far end. I mean, we couldn't see a soul. We couldn't see a soul. And it was about that time that things just went crazy. We, you know, we could hear the dog's fingernails on the ceiling. We had things banging around with no explanation. It was that point, that was where I saw my first full body. It was on the third floor of Waverly Hills down the hall. It's just amazing. You know, if anybody out there, if you've got an opportunity just for a stopover into Louisville, highly recommend that you do it.
Well, wow. It definitely sounds like a great investigation. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
We're going to have an event. We actually postponed it. It was going to be next weekend, but we're going to postpone it until maybe around June, where we're going to have about an hour and a half seminar on the safety and danger of paranormal, and followed by an hour and a half ghost hunt at a haunted location. We feel that people should not just jump 2 feet in and go ghost hunting without some sort of basic background knowledge of some of the safer ways and some of the dangers that are real and can come up at any moment. And so we used to give that seminar all the time at a local library, but they changed organizers, so they told us to hold that off for a little while. So we thought, okay, we'll do it a different way. We'll add a ghost hunt to it and go to a haunted location. So we should be doing that in June, we think.
Well, I definitely want to thank you both so much for coming on my show today. It's been great talking to you guys again, and I would love to have you guys back on in the future.
Absolutely, and happy anniversary to John and Shirley in about 5 days, I think.
Wow. Good notes. Wow, thanks. That's right, our 21st anniversary. Hey, guys,
it's
the show's open to you anytime.
Time.
I know Sophie even had more questions for you, so we'd love to have you back on sometime.
Awesome. That would be great.
All right. Thanks,
Diane. Thank you guys
again.
And
Katie.
Okay, thanks. You guys have a great day.
You
too.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for the anniversary well-wishing. Well, great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. They are great guests as always, and I want to thank you all for listening today. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Everybody, and our guests today, Katie Foreman and Diane Miller with CalPara Research Organization. Everybody, visit calpara.org. That's calpara.org. As well, Facebook search CalPara Research, Twitter at Cal_para. YouTube search for their remarkable videos, too, as well. CalPara Research, upcoming next Saturday. We have returning to the program paranormal investigator Eric Van Leer. That's the 28th, next Saturday. Feature actor and paranormal investigator Rick McCallum will be on the program on May 5th. Psychic radio Rod Shelton returns to the program on May 19th. Ghost Adventures crew member, the latest crew member, Dakota Layden, returns to the program on June 2nd. The Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli and liveparanormal.com 7-year broadcast anniversary show Spectacular Live will be on June 9th. And paranormal investigator Jake Fife will be on the program July 21st. A lot more dates of a lot more guests. They're securing theirs now. So a lot more incredible shows coming up. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to the Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.